السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد. Some of the students, inshallah ta'ala, they will be going for Umrah. And some of them have requested to give some advices, so we are not in a position to give advice, but whatever we have heard, whatever little experiences we may have, so we'll try and share it with you. So tonight, we will just discuss the method of Umrah. Right? So when a person is going for Umrah, the first thing is that this is not a scoreboard. How many times I went for Umrah. One person and one Buzurg went to his house, so he said, telling his family, they say, give that Zamzam, the one that when we went for our fifth Hajj, I don't know what number he said, give that Zamzam. That Buzurg said, with that statement of his, he threw all his sawab away for all his Hajj, all his Umrah, everything, he threw it away. But what is the reason to say now, give the Umrah from that Hajj or that Umrah for what? You want the people to know now how many times I went. So if a person is going for the first time, then obviously the excitement is different, right? And a person who has been before, then sometimes the excitement is more. One person told me that after he came back from Umrah, he said that, you know, now I think I mustn't go for a couple of years. No? So then you create that thirst again, then now you're really yearning to go. So I think, well, that's your muhabbat, that's what you think. But I feel Allah Pak must call me again and again. So, it's all about love, right? It's about muhabbat. So sometimes the person who doesn't know what it is, he's excited, he wants to go. The person who finished, tasted, he wants it even more. He finished, go. Now even more he wants to go. Because he finished, go one time. So, but at the same time, we must not become proud. If Allah Ta'ala took you one time, now Allah Ta'ala is taking you again. Now don't think, oh, see how pious I am. I am always getting called. So our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that when a person writes an examination and he fails the examination, then he is told that you must come beginning of the year and come write supplementary. Come write the sub. If you pass that one, then only you can go to the next year. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali said that each time Allah Ta'ala calls us there, we must think, I failed last time. I failed last time, so Allah Pak is calling me this time to make amends. Now I must try and be better in this safar. So never ever must we develop any type of a pride. It is only the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala calls us there, it's Allah Ta'ala's mercy. We must not think it's some kamal of ours, something we do. Other thing, never ever think money takes you. Money don't take. Only Allah Ta'ala can take you. Allah Ta'ala wants you there, Allah Ta'ala will make the means for you to be there. And if it's not written for you to be there, you won't be there. And if you don't go for Umrah, it's no guna. No guna if you don't go for Umrah. You got a yearning to go, you keep making dua to Allah Ta'ala and you make some effort in that regard. And when Allah Ta'ala takes you, Allah will take you. So in today's time the ulama-i kiram, they're even explaining that to go for Hajj once in your life, this is farz. Now with all this quota system and everything, sometimes a person is putting their name for Hajj, sometimes maybe they're only going after 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, their name is being called. So in the meantime, go for Umrah. Allah gave you the means, go for Umrah in the meantime. Don't just sit and wait, now know when my name comes. You may pass away before your name comes. If you got the means to go, go for Umrah. So, the virtues of Umrah are many. I'm not going into all the virtues now, but just one of the things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that one Umrah to the next Umrah, it is a kafara for all the gunas that took place in between the two. If you went for Umrah, now you go for another Umrah, whatever sins took place between there, Allah Ta'ala forgives it. So our niyat must be the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, as is our niyat with every other ibadat. We are going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to earn the pleasure of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Now when a person is, before you go, now generally our situation is we already booked maybe a month before, 2 months before, whatever. So our preparation must already start. What is the preparation? Start to clean the heart. Tawbah, istighfar, become paban on the sunnah. If a person, he doesn't have a shari beard, he must start growing a beard. How is he going to go and stand in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if he doesn't have a beard? If a person has got any bad habits, and give up these habits, especially a smoking habit. One person, he was smoking for many, many years. And eventually, Allah Ta'ala took him for Umrah. So he was in Madina Munawara, and he came out from the Haram, out of the presence of the Haram Sharif, the Masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out, and now he is standing one side and he lit his cigarette. So one local Arab brother, he came past him, and he's telling him in Arabic, in the city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Smoking in this city, like, you know. That man said, I felt so ashamed of myself. It was the last cigarette I ever lit in my life. He gave it up. There and there, he gave it up. A lot of times, especially youngsters, when they keep doing a lot, and if they don't maintain the azmat of the place in their heart, then it just becomes like a care with them. He's going there, he's running this shop, that shop, doing this, doing that. No. We must have the azmat of this place. So you try to read one seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if it's a short seerah. You realize now what took place over here. How much qurbani was given for this deen to come alive? The same Kaaba Sharif, all idols were inside. How much blood went to purify that Kaaba Sharif? How many people were martyred before that? How much of qurbani, hijrat took place? How much difficulty Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through? And after that, Allah Ta'ala then made Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purify the Kaaba Sharif, remove all the idols from there. So we're going to a very, very honorable place, a haram. Allah Ta'ala has sanctified that place. The sanctity of that place is so much that you can't even just break a tree. You can't even just, you know, kill the animals in that place. It's a sanctified place, it's haram. So all this we must start conscientizing ourselves. Every day read 2 rakat Salatul Hajat. Ya Allah, you make the suffer easy. Take us, make everything asan. Give us the tawfiq to honor these Mubarak lands. Don't let us go there and commit guna. Remember, one is you commit guna anywhere else. It's a terrible thing. Go there and commit guna. Now the guna also is multiplied. Because that place is so mubarak. Now the guna also is multiplied. So, when a person now is conscientizing himself, preparing himself, you know, making tawbah, istighfar, getting rid of his bad habits, trying to condition his mind, control his tongue. Everything is controlling his heart, his mind. Very, very important to make hifazat of the eyes. Train the eyes. I must not look. Because you must remember, when you go for Umrah, you're going to be in very close proximity of many strange women. And the woman will be in close proximity of many strange men. But the azmat of that place must be so much. Like how Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah, everybody will be mixed up. There will be men there, there will be women there. And people will be unclothed. On the day of Qiyamah, everybody will rise, nobody will have clothes. In other words, she's like, how is it going to be like that now? Men are going to be there, women are going to be there, and nobody is going to have clothes on. How is it going to be like this? What must have been her level of haya? She's so worried now, that how is it going to be like this on the day of Qiyamah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, Aisha, the matter is much more grave than that. In other words, everybody will be so much pareshani, nobody will even be bothered about who's standing next to them, who got clothes, who haven't got clothes. Nobody is worried about looking at anybody. Everybody will be so gripped in fear, in worry, in anxiety. So now when we go to Baytullah, it must be like that. Like how we're going to go on the plains of resurrection, present ourselves in front of Allah Ta'ala. Now we are coming here to Makkah Mukarramah, and we're going to present ourselves in front of the Baytullah. The greatness of Allah Ta'ala must be so much in us. You know, worried about who's walking next to us, who's doing what here, which woman is going there, which girl is running here. The woman not worried about the men not worried about the woman. Everybody is just worried about Allah Ta'ala. So now, sometime when a person is going for Umrah, then they go to Makkah Mukarramah first. And then after that, to go to Madinah Munawwara, technically is not part of the Umrah. But love draws a person. You go to Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara is right there. How can you not go to Madinah Munawwara? So going to Madinah Munawwara, you're going to make ziyarat of Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now sometimes people travel and they're going first to Makkah Mukarramah. Other times people travel, they go first to Madinah Munawwara. Right? So if you're going to Makkah Mukarramah first, so then obviously, before you get to the Miqat, you have to be in Ihram. You can't go past the Miqat and you're not in Ihram. Right? So, when you are traveling now, sometime you are traveling via Dubai, or you whichever place you're traveling via Abu Dhabi, or wherever you're going first. And then from there, you're traveling from South Africa to that country, then from that country you're going to fly to Jeddah. And if you're going Makkah Mukarramah first. So you got to carry your ihram with you. Right? One easy way of doing it is wear your bottom towel for the men now, right? The ladies, they wear their normal clothes, everything. They know no difference for them. But for the men now, you're going to wear two pieces of cloth. So generally in this zamana, people wear the two white towels, right? So you wear the one towel and wear your kurta on top. Right? Now when you get to Dubai or Abu Dhabi or whichever country you stopping over, so over there now, make your wuzu, do everything, and if you want, put on your up the top towel, remove the kurta now, and put the top towel on, but you don't have to make your niyat that time. But you can even read your two rakats, namaz, which normally you read before you make your intention to go into ihram, into a state of ihram. Ihram is not the clothing. The clothing is one of the requirements of the state of ihram, that you wear such clothing. you don't wear like how this clothing is sewn with sleeves and all that. So you wear plain, unsewn clothing. So that is part of your ihram. Ihram is a condition. You're entering into a state of ihram. There's many things that now become binding on you when you go into the state of ihram. Right? So one is the clothing of ihram and one is the state of ihram. So you would only enter into the state of ihram when you make your niyyat. Right? So now here if you're finding it difficult to change in the aeroplane, sometimes the toilets are small, whatever, so you can change here on the airport, but you don't have to make your niyyat. Right? But if you want to do this, then remember, this is just something, try to get a belt that doesn't have any steel on it. Because sometimes you get one, two faulty people in this airport. Now you're going through that scanner thing, and now you're wearing a belt, and the belt got a steel buckle. Now that thing is beeping. Now you tell the person, now some people they got common sense, some people got akal, and other people they just can't understand. So you can't go and fight with people now. So you rather have a belt that doesn't have a metal buckle, so that when you go through, it's not going to make no sound. I have seen people, sometimes elderly people, now they're telling them, no, take that belt off. Now how are you going to take the ihram belt off? Now the bichara is holding the towel, taking the belt out, walking through there, so much taklif. And you try to tell the people, man is in ihram now, why are you troubling the person? But sometimes whether these people really have feeling for deen or not, only Allah Ta'ala knows, but they doing their job, we don't argue and fight with anybody. So try to get a belt, and now there's a lot of these belts, Velcro belts and all of that, that they don't have a steel buckle, so you don't have a problem with the scanners and all that. Right? So that's just a tip, by the way, I'm just telling you. So in the aeroplane, don't waste your time. And in the aeroplane too, there's so much of guna. In the aeroplane too, there's TVs. In the aeroplane, there's women serving. They're going up and down. Now you are going for Umrah now. You don't want to contaminate yourself. Right? So keep some nice kitabs with you, or you want to listen to some bayans, put your phone to some good use. You can use the phone, listen to some bayan or something. Don't on that screen over there. That screen in the aeroplane, don't on that thing. Now, you'll on it first, you'll think, no, I'm going to listen to some Quran. How long are you going to listen to Quran? So many hours flight, how much? Slowly from Quran, you'll go to games. From games, you'll be watching movies. Don't on that shaitan. Leave it. You'd rather read some kitab. You go to Quran Sharif, read Quran Sharif, brush up on the masail of ihram, whatever, do something constructive. So when you're going to nearing the miqat, they will announce that we are nearing the miqat, those people that are going to make umrah, so make your niyat, make your intention. Right? So that's when you will make your intention. Allahumma inni uridul umrah, fayassir hali wa taqabbalha minni. If you know the Arabic, you read the Arabic. You don't know the Arabic, make your niyat in English. Oh Allah, I intend going for umrah, make it easy for me, accept it from me. Right? And then you read your talbiyah, you know. Read your labbaik. Read the labbaik. And after that, you must engage in some dua. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. The suffer of umrah is the suffer of dua. Many people, they go for umrah. You tell everybody, I'm going for umrah. But the umrah, you just want to get it over and done with. Now, get out of ihram now. And now I can go Tazaj and Albeit and here and that ice cream and that corn in the cup and that some. You don't go there for that. I'm not saying you mustn't eat. You have to eat also. I'm not saying you must go eat those things. I'm saying you have to eat some food. Right? But that's not the maqsad you went there for. Do your umrah, do it beautifully. Take your time and do your umrah. There's no points for finishing. Oh, we finished this time. We finished so quick. How long it took you to do? What race is there? There's no race. At every moment, engage in dua. Engage in dua. That's the whole thing about the umrah. Dua. So khair. So now you make your niyat, everything now. You touch down in Jeddah. When you come to Jeddah, you have to go through all this. Passport and whatever. And then you get your saman, get your luggage. Remember something when you're traveling. When you are traveling, look after your own things. Sometimes you're traveling with people, they think they're doing you a favor. They don't know they're giving you taklif. Now, get the Moana's back, get his bag, put in the story. Fine. You don't know where your bags are gone. Now, after that, you think, that one took your bag, this one took your bag. When you reach there, where's my bag? Now, angas. Now nobody knows where they went. Let everybody look after their things. Let everybody look after their things. I don't want to start telling your experiences, then we'll get too long, the program will be too long. You look after your things. You take your things, you got your bags. You know how many bags you came with, you got your bags. You know how many bags you came with, you got your bags. So you get your luggage, everything, you come out, you get your transport, whichever way you are traveling, taxi, bus, whatever, you get your transport. Now you keep proceeding to Makkah Mukarrama. Right? So when you get to Makkah Mukarrama, this is a very great thing. It's a very great thing to be able to go to Makkah Mukarrama. You must remember, this is a city. Allah Ta'ala could have chosen any city in the world. Allah Ta'ala chose this city as a birthplace for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala chose this city for the first wahi to come down. So this is, it's not a small thing. It's a really big thing. So now you come to Makkah Mukarrama. So first you will go to your hotel wherever you are staying. Make sure your accommodation is sorted out. Get your saman, everything into your rooms. If you are hungry, you want to have something to eat, you have something to eat, you want to freshen up, you freshen up. If it's a salah time, you'll go for namaz. So it's not that as soon as you get to Makkah Mukarrama, you have to go do your umrah immediately. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Ta'ala give him jazai khair. So we used to, he say, right, okay, we'll go for Umrah 10 o'clock in the night. So you reach there, maybe it's Asr time, Maghrib time, you read your Maghrib namaz, you have something to eat, you rested a little bit, you read your Isha, you came back to the room, you want to take a bath, but remember you can't use soap and shampoos and you are in Ihram. You can wash yourself. You have to make wuzu, you will take a ghusl, no problem. But don't use any perfume soap, don't use toothpaste, and don't scratch yourself, don't rub your head, don't rub your body. But you can have a bath if you want, you want to freshen up everything. And Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, alright, we'll go 10 o'clock, we'll go 10:30. I don't want to talk now about Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Baat bahut lambi ho jayegi. Very long the talk will get. So, Things have changed a lot, Haramain Sharifain. But we talk about how it is now. Right? So you can only, those people who are going for Umrah, you can only enter the Haram to get to go down onto the Mataf from one entrance. Right? So though some of you are going first time, I don't want to confuse your brain, what you must look for, and inshallah you will be together with people who went before, and they will show you where to go. You can't get lost, only one Kaaba Sharif. You can't go to the wrong place. So anyway, you enter there. Now, when you are going in, I forgot to tell you, on the way, try to read a lot of the talbiyah. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Keep reading. How many times you can read? Make salam with people. Make khidmat wherever you can make khidmat. Feed wherever you can feed. So, now when you're entering the haram, you enter, you walk with lot of humility, and concentration. Connect yourself with Allah Ta'ala. Don't worry about looking too much this year, that how the haram is here, what. No, just connect yourself with Allah Ta'ala. Right? You walk, then you have to take an escalator to go down. You come at the bottom. Don't pick your head up. Just look down. Try to get to a place where you feel you won't be disturbed when you're going to make dua. Try to get one spot where you can see the Kaaba Sharif. So generally now you'll have one, two people who have been before, so they will guide you, and then you pick your gaze up and you look at the Kaaba Sharif. And when you look at the Kaaba Sharif, and this is a different feeling. Different. Everybody experience is different. And that is just looking at a building. But it creates that desire, one day, Allah Ta'ala, in His mercy, allow me to see Him. Allow me to see Him. Yeah, I'm missing His house. It's not even His house. He can't, Allah can't fit in that house. It's called Baytullah. It gives us a direction to read our salah. Gives us a place to make our tawaf, right? The day will come when Allah Ta'ala will reveal Himself. Yeah, barakat are coming down on this Baytullah. This Baytullah is the pulse of the world. So here you come, you look at the Kaaba Sharif, you recite takbir, and thereafter, you engage in dua. Now there are some duas, some masnoon duas to read when you see the Kaaba Sharif for the first time, etc. You must try and learn the duas, mashallah, whatever you can learn, you must learn. But you then engage in dua. Take your time, make your dua. There's no rush. If the cleaner comes, he needs to clean, he wants to move you, no problem. Don't be stubborn, move. Move out of his way, continue with your dua. If the guards come there, they tell you, Ajja, 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 move. No problem, move. Move. Get to another spot, carry on with your dua. So make your dua to your heart's content. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, make your first dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban-nar. But some people, when they see the Kaaba Sharif, they just go blank. Everybody has different experiences when they see the Kaaba Sharif. So try to remember this one dua, because this dua is comprehensive. It includes everything. Everything is included. Right? So after you made your dua, so now you will proceed to make tawaf. So don't try to go against the crowd and just carry on with the tawaf circle. Stay on the outer of it until you come to the Hajr-e-Aswad. Yeah? So So when you come to the Hajri Aswad, you will see, if you look on that side, you will see they've got some green lights giving you more or less an idea. In the old days, they used to have a line on the mataf, on the floor, on the marble. Now they don't have that line anymore. So you just use your tahari, your discretion, more or less, come in line with the Hajri Aswad. So you don't go exactly in line with the Hajri Aswad. You stay a little before the Hajri Aswad. Right? Faced in the direction of the Kaaba Sharif, make your niyat. To Allah, I am intending to make tawaf, 7 circuits around the Baytullah. You make it easy for me, you accept it from me. Right? Then you step in line. Now remember, bhai, all this has to be done quick. Because the crowd is coming. If you're fortunate, sometimes the crowd is less, sometimes the crowd is big. If the crowd is big, you don't have too much time now. You think you're going to take out your kitab and you're going to start reading all this dua. You give other people taqif. No, you just quickly, and then you face, you make your, what you call your niyat, you get in line of the Hajri Aswad, you make your istinab, and thereafter you start your tawaf. Now, if a person is in ihram, so that umrah tawaf that he is making, he must expose his right shoulder for the men. So he'll take his scarf, his ihram towel or sheet, whatever he's wearing, and he'll put it under his right shoulder and throw it over his left shoulder. So that this right shoulder will be exposed. Right? And in the first 3 rounds of his tawaf, he must walk like a soldier. Now you see people doing funny things there. Some people are running, some people are weaving, they're going, they're running some race, I don't know. Maybe nobody taught them what they're supposed to. Right? So there's no need for you to run or anything. You march like a soldier. So you're upright, your chest is out, and your hands are moving. Like how a soldier will march. You're taking strong steps. You do that. Right? Only in the first 3 rounds. After that you can walk normal. Now what's the reason for all of this? If you're going to go into all the history, then we'll finish off today. Right? So you do this, and after that, each time you, now, there's no masnoon duas as such to read that in the first round of your tawaf you must read this, second round of your tawaf, no. You read what you want to read. You want to read Quran Sharif, you read Quran Sharif. You want to make Zikrullah, you make Zikrullah. You want to make Dua, you make Dua. I say read your 7 Kalimas, man. You know which round you read. First round, you read first Kalima. Second round is second Kalima. Third round is third Kalima. Fourth Kalima, fifth Kalima. Imane Mujmal, Imane Mufassal. You know you're on the 7th round. But generally now people keep, carry the tawaf tasbih. So you keep a count, and in the count also you hear a lot of ikhtilafa. But anyway, so now you engage in some, and when you're making tawaf, your left shoulder must be facing the Kaaba Sharif. You don't turn around and face the Kaaba Sharif like this. You just continue walking. When you come to Rukne Yamani, so you're starting Bahadri Aswad, first corner, then this is the Hatim. You pass the Hatim, second corner, third corner is the Rukne Yamani. So from Rukne Yamani to Hajre Aswad, Rabbana Atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa shifaa'an min kulli da. If you can touch the Rukne Yamani, well and good, but a lot of things happen there. You rather just stay away and just go past. You don't have to make istiram of Rukne Yamani. You see people doing all that. Don't just do what you see people doing. Right? Then you come to Hajri Aswad again. You face the Hajri Aswad. You make your istinam and you carry on. Don't waste time there because people are coming. Right? You don't want to now cause a traffic jam there. Try to not touch anybody. Sometimes the crowds are too much. When you see the crowds are too much, you're a young person, you're strong, you're fit, rather go make your tawaf upstairs. Instead of, yeah, getting squeezed up, women, men, everything, sab kuch andar, maskan andar. So khair. So in your tawaf, you will go 7 times around the Baytullah, and you will make 8 istinams. Because you'll start off with an istinam and you'll finish off with an istinam. So when you finish your tawaf, now you will go and read 2 rakats wajibut tawaf. Now in the kitabs you will read that you must try and go behind the maqam Ibrahim. Sometimes it's impossible. There's too much people there. Like, you can't go and say, no, I'm going to read my namaz. No. If it's busy, there's no place in that direction, go anyway in the haram. So generally, if you just go past that section where the maqam Ibrahim is, then there is a little bit quieter. So go away there, read your 2 rakats, wajibut tawaf. After you finish, read your 2 rakats, wajibut tawaf, engage in dua. Cry to Allah Ta'ala. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And then, go to the multazam. Right? Go to the multazam. But in this zamana, they put lot of itar there on the wall of the Kaaba Sharif, the cloth of the Kaaba Sharif. So by right, you're supposed to go and press yourself there on the multazam, but because you are in ihram and they got all the itars there, so you don't go and press yourself, but you try and go close there, engage in dua there as well. Right? When you finish from the multazam, then you go to the zamzam. So now there's no more, you can't access the well, but they got tanks of zamzam in the back. So you go there and you drink zamzam water to your heart's content. You must drink. Munafiqin, they can't drink zamzam water. Mu'minin, they can drink zamzam water. You must drink. How much you can drink, you must drink. Zamzam is a purifier. So you must drink your zamzam water, remember the masnoon dua to read also, and drink your zamzam water standing facing the Kaaba Sharif, stand and drink zamzam water. So you can drink more also. Right? Then over there also you make dua. You engage in dua again. Right? Now Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain this tawaf very beautifully. He used to say this tawaf is a washing machine. So when you go and you make your istinam, it's like you press the button on the washing machine. How the clothes go round and round in the washing machine, they're getting washed. You put your heart inside that washing machine. And now you're getting washed now. You're going round and round and getting washed. Right? Until you finish your tawaf. You finish your tawaf, now you came out of the washing machine. The clothes is clean now. So you must have yakin that your heart is going to clean. Allah will cleanse your heart. You must have hope in Allah Ta'ala. So now you came out, but the clothes when you come out of the washing machine is clean, but it is creased. It's creased. So now you go to the multazam to ayn. You press yourself against the multazam. Well, I said you mustn't go press because of the itar, but normally what you're supposed to do, go press. So now that's the ironing now. So all the creases came out. Now you finish taking the creases out, now you go to Zamzam to put the itar. Zamzam is the itar now. Like how when you finish getting ready for Jummah, clothes are clean, ironed, put your clothes on, now you put itar in. So the Zamzam is the itar. Now when you are clean and ironed and you are you finish put the itar in the form of the zamzam. Don't go put itar now. You put drinking zamzam. The zamzam, Hazrat is giving example. So now the zamzam now is your itar. Now from there, you go to make your sa'i. You ready now? Now you go run to your beloved Allah. You put your itar, everything now. You clean, clothes, iron, everything. Now go and run to Allah. Hazrat used to say, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ So now, there is a ninth istiram that you must make. When you're going on top, remember this, anywhere in the haram. Now the haram has gone so big, from a lot of places you can't see the Kaaba Sharif. So you must just look at the direction of the marble. The marble is placed facing the Kaaba Sharif. So you know where the, which direction is the Kaaba Sharif. So I don't know now with the construction what's the story, but the last Safar, so that whole place was closed off. So you, from the Safa, you couldn't see the Kaaba Sharif. But you make your ninth istilam, and then you proceed for your sa'i. So you follow the boards. If you don't know how to get there, you see they're showing you sa'i. Follow the boards, you go up one ramp. Depending now, you want to make on the ground floor, you want to make on the first floor, where it's open, where it's convenient, you go there, right? And then the same intention. Oh Allah, I intend to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, make it easy for me, accept it. If you know the Arabic, read the Arabic. If you don't know the Arabic, say it in English. So now when you made your niyat, again pick up your hands. By Safa, try to go a little bit up wherever you can go. It's too busy, just try and find one spot there, right? And make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Read the fourth kalima, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And now you start walking to Marwa. So when you come to Milain and Akhdarain, they got those green lights. So from there to the next green light, the men folk, they must jog. Because this used to be a valley. So when Hajra radiallahu anha, when she was in the valley, she couldn't see Ismail alayhi salam. So she ran to get to high ground again so she could see him. So when we are going there, we're making sa'i, we must think, we are here, marble floor, air con, fan. How Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked here? There was no roof, nothing there. The sand, desert sand, hot sun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking there. Hajra radhiyallahu anha, how she was walking there. So you must think of these things, conscientize your mind. Don't worry about friends. Your friend is Allah Ta'ala. So you go, you run, and then you start walking again. You come to Marwa, it's a bit of an incline, you get to the top, right? Again, find one spot, face the direction of Kaaba Sharif, make dua. Few minutes, make dua. Then you go again to Safa. So the first time you go from Safa to Marwa is one. Marwa to Safa is two. One person, Bichara, first time he went for Umrah, I met him after he made Umrah. He was finished up. Kya hua bhai? Amen. Tawaf was easy, but sahi. So what he was doing now, he's going from Safa to Marwa, back to Safa, he say one. He's seeing the cow tawaf, you make a full circuit. So like that, now he was going to Safa, coming back to Safa is counting as one. Bichara, you got finished up. So you, from Safa to Marwa is one. Marwa, you come back to Safa is two. So you'll do your seven. So each time you come to the green lights, you're gonna run. Right? Come to the next set of green lights, you stop, you walk. Then you're gonna go up Safa, you make dua. So you do this. And then your seventh round, you'll finish off at Marwa. You finish off at Marwa. How it's going to be this time? Wallahu alam. Last time when you went, construction, everything closed up here, closed up there. You couldn't even find a place to stand and make dua. Because now your umrah is finished. Now you want to make a hearty dua to Allah Ta'ala. Now they were not allowing you to stand anyway. So then what we did was we walked, going now again towards Safa, and then we branched off, and we went down again like we went to the Mataf, like we went to make Umrah. So we went to it down, and then we found one spot there with some musallas, And then we went there and we engaged in dua there. So wherever you can find a place, go and you engage in dua. Try to Allah Ta'ala. Dua to Allah Ta'ala. And then when you finish making dua, you read two rakats. This two rakats you reading, either read before your dua or after your dua. Your umrah is finished now. So you're reading this two rakats namaz, making shukr to Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala allowed for you to make umrah. Right? Now, when you finished your umrah, it's nice to give some sadaqah. Because we don't know what mistakes we made, something we didn't do properly, whatever. So you give some sadaqah also. Right? And then, you need to now remove your hair. If you're coming out of ihram, you have to remove your hair now. Right? So you go out now and you find the barber. Get your hair cut. Once you cut your hair, now you are out of ihram. The women folk, they normally go to the room and they will cut their hair. They just have to cut 1 inch of their hair all round. So they know how they do that. But the men folk must go and shave. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for those who shave. He made dua 3 times. Those who only cut their hair, only 1 time. So it's more virtuous that you shave your hair. Put a blade, mousse. When you go there, they'll ask you, say mousse. And then put a blade. Only see they don't cut you. If you want any pimples in your head, you must tell them. Sambal na bhai. So anyway, you cut your hair now, alhamdulillah, you are finished your umrah, you are out of ihram. Now you can go have a bath, use your soap, you want to brush your teeth using toothpaste, whatever, you know more, you're out of ihram now. But now your stay is there in Makkah Mukarramah, you're staying now another 4 days, 5 days, whatever, 1 week, whatever time you are going to stay there. So from your first day, get a tartib for yourself. Put a tartib. Don't think, no, okay, I'll start tomorrow. But you only got limited time. Especially those of you that are huffaz, etc. Try to make a tartib that you make one khatam in Makkah Mukarramah, one khatam in Madinah Munawwarah, if possible, depending how long you stay. Right? So have a tartib for yourself. Don't waste your time. Right? Don't waste your time. Use your time. You know, very, very profitably. So a very nice time to go to the haram is in the morning between 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock. At that time, it's a bit quiet. But you can see what you want to do. Sometimes you feel, no, I'm going to stay awake the whole night, make ibadah. In the morning, I want to rest a little bit. No problem. However you want to, but make a timetable for yourself. I'm going to wake up this time, read Quran Sharif that time, I'm going to do this time, so much durood. Remember now, after that you're going to Madinah Munawwarah. So spend your time correctly. Make as much tawaf as you can without exhausting yourself. Don't go and make so much tawaf and then you're collapsing. Make how much you can manage. Make, have a rest. If you have to make upstairs also, it's very nice. Upstairs is very nice to make tawaf. Because upstairs there's no pushing, no lady touching you, nothing. Buy one nice shoe, one nice shoe if you want, which you're not using outside. Carry it in your shoe bag. When you're going to make tawaf, take out that shoe, put it on, take other shoe, put in the shoe bag, and wear that shoe just for tawaf. Some people just get like this diver's socks or whatever, because it's long. It's a lot of walking upstairs. But you people are young, mashallah. Yeah? You can do it. And it's very nice. You went there for what? So the longer time you spend in the tawaf, the better. Maybe you won't make 2 tawafs, you make 1 tawaf. But the same thing, is the time that you spend. It's like one person reading while asr and inna atina, and he read 2 rakats namaz. And the other one, he read whole of Surah Baqarah, and he read 2 rakats namaz. So, you're making the tawaf, long tawaf, how much you can read? read good few paras you can read. If you make the tawaf upstairs, you young people will take you under an hour. You can walk briskly, make your tawaf. But is a different khubi downstairs. There's a different khubi. Now that's another masla, whether you can block them that you're going, you just put on your ihram towels and make like you are in ihram and you're going down, and now that all is left up to you. If you want to do that, is left up to you. If you got a reason why you're doing it, also is left up to you. If you want to go upstairs too, is left up to you. But basically, your stay in Makkah Mukarrama, try to make as much tawaf as possible. Because tawaf can't be made anywhere else besides Makkah Mukarrama. You can't make that ibadat anywhere else. So your stay in Makkah Mukarrama, on your last day, you must make your tawaf-e-wida. Your farewell tawaf. Now, this is the last tawaf you're making. Right? And after that, you're departing from Makkah Mukarrama. So you must allow yourself enough time. Don't go slap dash one quick tawaf and just come out. You're in a hurry now to go. You must allow yourself enough time. Make that tawaf nicely. Cry to Allah Pak. When you finish the tawaf, make dua. You don't know if you're going to come back. You don't know if you're going to come back. Hazrat Shaki Maktar Sahib Rahmatullahi, what a beautiful couplet he made. Kaha meri kismat tawafi haram jis zami pe chale the nabi ke kadam. Subhanallah. جس سے چپکے تھے کل سینے انبیاء میرے سینے کو حاصل ہے وہ ملتزم. اسے وہی از مائی گڈ فارچون, کہاں میری قسمت طواف حرم. واٹ اے گڈ فارچون آف مائنڈ دیٹ آئی مین طواف آف بیت اللہ. جس زمین پہ چلے تھے نبی کے قدم, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked on that ground. Anbiya alayhi wa sallam walked there. Sahaba naunum walked there. That multazam which all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, they attached their chest there. Today I'm putting my chest there. A multazam. So you must conscientize yourself. Think of these things. The way Allah Pak brought me. As a Shaki Maktar Sahib will say, Kaha meri kismat tawaf-e haram, main jaagta hu ya khab dekhta hu. The way is my good fortune, I'm making tawaf of the haram. Am I seeing a dream? Is this all a dream or am I ready in a wakeful state? Is this really happening or am I imagining it? So when you're making the tawaf-e wida now, you mean last tawaf. You don't know if you're going to get an opportunity again in your life. So you make the tawaf nicely. After the tawaf, you cry. Say, Allah, I didn't fulfill the haq of this place. Cry to Allah Ta'ala. And then when you're leaving the haram, leave with a heavy heart. You walk a little bit. You turn around again. You look at the Kaaba Sharif. You beg Allah, Ya Allah, bring me again. Ya Allah, how you showed me your Kaaba Sharif. Allow me to see you also. You allowed me to drink zamzam. Allow me to drink from Hose Kosar also. Slowly, slowly you come out. Take another few steps. Turn around again. Look at the Kaaba. You come outside. Look at the haram. Look at the building. Ya Allah, when am I going to come back? When are you going to bring me back? Allow yourself good time. Don't just go last minute, just slap dash and come on. It must be a spiritual experience. And then you come out and obviously you have to now get your transport, check out from your hotel and everything. The only consolation you got is that now you're going to Madina Munawara. Now if you had gone Madina Munawara first, then obviously from Madina Munawara you would have tied your ihram. Then you would have come to Dhul Hulaifa, Bir Ali, and you would have made your two rakats namaz over there, made your niyat over there, made your dua, everything there, and then proceeded by road to Makkah Mukarramah. And then everything else is the same. So I don't know, man, kya karu? I thought, you're gonna just sit for half an hour here, and tell you Makkah Mukarramah and Madina Munawwara. Now, we only cut the Makkah Mukarramah so short. Friday night, inshallah, we'll talk about Madina Munawwara.